Hello, beautiful people. Merry Christmas. Welcome to the night before Jesus' birthday. And we want to tell it in as dramatic a way as we can tonight by singing and the spoken word and a little drama along the way. I want to ask if you'd stand with me. Let's call one another to this sacred time together using the words in your bulletin. Let's stand. This special day calls us out with the exuberant hopefulness of children. If we allow it, this day can hold us spellbound with childlike wonder. If we're open, this day can challenge us to forget ourselves and become like children. Rejoice, friends, for this day is Christmas Eve, and God has shown up in the package of a tiny child.
Good to see you tonight. Welcome. Welcome to everyone this evening. This is a special service this evening as we join the children in remembering the nativity story and celebrating that through their eyes and their actions. So I greet you in the spirit of childlike openness this evening. I'm guessing that a few of you woke up this morning and ask the question, okay, it's Sunday and it's Christmas Eve. Does that mean I have to go to church twice? But I do see some of you back again, so you actually have an opportunity to go a couple more times this evening if you like. But it's good to see you, and I want to welcome all the visitors this evening. Christmas Eve is a great time for family to reconnect and relatives who have, you know, been away or lived at distance to come together again. This is a joyous occasion. So I greet all of you. And if you are visiting tonight, I encourage you to come on back after the first of the year for a full array of programmings for growth in the way of Christ and service as well. So greetings, everyone. Of course, whenever we get a big group together like this and we have open flames, we just need to remember where the exits are in case something happens. So in addition to those exits and entrances that you're familiar with, how you came into the building, reminder as well that there's exits up here in the front that will take you to the back parking lot. And up in the balcony there is a staircase that goes out into the alley as well. So just be aware of that. Thank you so much. And I just want to say thank you to all the Christmas angels who make this night possible, all our volunteers and all they do to make it possible. Ellie, would you join me and let's light the Advent wreath together?
One candle to remind us of the prophets, the second for John the Baptizer, the third for Mary, and the fourth for us. Now, the central candle for Jesus, born this night. Jesus is the light of the world. Mary gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger for his bed, for there was no room for them to stay in the inn. Please join me in the last saying. Lord, you come as a tiny, fragile baby, yet we know that you are strong, God, always with us. May the flame of these candles remind us that you are the light of the world and that when we follow you, we never walk alone in darkness, but walk surrounded in light.
Okay, I want to invite the children to get ready to head upstairs to the third floor. There's some helpers in the back here are going to escort you, but we do need parents or guardian to go with the children and help them move. And so please get up and make your way up, and to the back here you'll find helpers to take you to the third floor so you can get your costumes on.
Well, are you excited about a gift you might be giving over the next few hours? How about a gift you might be getting? Huh? Yeah? Where would Christmas be if it weren't for the exchange of gifts between those beautiful people who are the inner circle of our life? So long as we remember that it's really not our birthday, it's somebody else's. Always important to kind of balance that. So in our family, we've exchanged gifts with extended family, kind of drew a number, drew a name. And you know, it struck me again how important it is to really think about the gift you're going to give. So it really isn't just what I would like to get, but what really reflects the temperament and the longings and the joy of that other person. Lest it become kind of a transaction. You know, I'll give you something because you're going to give me something. You know, you give in order to get. Not that any of you ever have thoughts like that, I'm sure. No. In fact, I'm confident that most all of us in this room have had our moments in this life when we felt the joy of just giving for giving's sake without expecting something to come back to us. In fact, I've seen it in this church more times than I can count. Generosity is a beautiful thing. So that baby that we've been talking about all month becomes a most powerful teacher and rabbi and healer. And one day, did you know this is what he said about exchanging gifts? Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over into your lap. For the measure that you give will be the same measure that you get back. Powerful words, huh? You know, when I hear that, I think about how when we give, whatever, money, energy, do an errand for somebody else, when we have a giving spirit, somehow, really mysteriously, something does come back toward us. Now, I want to be careful. We don't give in order to get those things back. But there is this great kind of equation. And it's not even unique to Christianity. All the great spiritual traditions talk about things coming back in the giving. Call it karma. I just think you could call it all comes back. A few years ago, the Denver Post ran a story that was a very strange true story that happened around Christmas in that city. It seems that a pastor of a church got up in the pulpit a few weeks before Christmas and said, hey, you know, we're trying to get the word out. We identified a few families who've just been on some hard times. I'm aware of one family who's just gone through kind of one knock after another. Is there anybody in the church who'd like to help that family have an enjoyable Christmas this year? If so, come see me afterwards. Well, there was a young father right in the line afterwards, came up to the pastor and said, hey, my two boys and I, we'd like to do what you're talking about. Okay. So they set a day, a couple of weeks before Christmas. The father and his sons loaded up the pickup truck with a few gifts the church had already got together. They put a fresh evergreen tree on top of the pickup. A few gifts, some food, and they headed out of town. Now, you need to know this family in need was a few miles outside of Denver, so it was going to be a highway drive to get there. And on this particular night, there was a rock slide. And a few large rocks came off the side of the mountain, which happens in the Rockies. And one struck this pickup truck and just knocked the wheel out, just pretty near demolished the thing. Well, the father was okay, but one of his sons received a gash from a piece of broken glass. And it was kind of scary there for a moment. So if you can appreciate, this father gets out on a highway just on the edge of Denver and is trying to wave cars down. And he counted, and 199 cars passed by without stopping. Finally, the 200th car pulled over. It was a couple. And he explained the situation. They said, sure, jump in here. They hurried the father and the two sons to the local hospital. In fact, they stuck around long enough just to make sure that the ER doctor was seeing the boy and stitching him up, and then they waved on. Father got back home that night. Things were okay. The boy's okay. Was able to get the vehicle replaced. But a day, 2 days before Christmas, the pastor got up in the pulpit again and thanked people for all their giving, and they were helping several families out in the community. And he singled out this father. Thought this was kind of gutsy of the pastor. He said, hey, I'm sorry for what happened, you know, a couple of weeks ago, but this particular family has really been on several of our minds, and I wondered, there's a few more gifts we've gathered. Would you be willing to try it again? Father took a breath and said, yes, we're going to see this thing through. They made the drive, They knocked on the door. And guess who opened the door? If you guessed, then you'd be right. It was the couple in the 200th car who'd pulled over to help this family 2 weeks earlier. They embraced. It was the brightest Christmas everybody had experienced. Now, that kind of coincidence that happens sometimes, I don't know how you define it. I don't know how you ever plan on it. I don't even know words to describe something like that. But it fills me with hope and encouragement when I see that kind of mysterious give back that happens between people. And it a lot of times happens this time of year. I love that that happens. I think we're hardwired to want to give back. Last Monday night, I got to stand in the middle of a living room of a house, a brand new house, that's just a few blocks over that way. See, it was a house built by Habitat for Humanity volunteers. A lot of people go into building a house like that. And Eric Smith. Eric Smith is the man who has been working hundreds of hours of sweat equity along with the Habitat volunteers for him to receive that house. Oh, I wish you'd all been there, but it was packed as it was. This house dedication, if you could appreciate, they wanted to have it happen before Christmas. So there's Eric and his little boy Fletcher, who's about 3, he's holding in his arms. And people are giving him a quilt and some food. And this guy, there was so much emotion in the room, you know. And I was so impressed with all the people who came out on a cold night, you know, stomping their feet to get the ice off of it and hugging people and smiling. A few tears were shed. And a climax of this simple house ceremony is the giving the new owner the new key. And when Eric, now the new homeowner, a few days before Christmas, Merry Christmas, he took the key and thought about what he's going to say, and he looked around to this crowded living room, so many people in this little house, and he said, "I don't know how I can thank you for helping me and my son get into this house by Christmas, but give me time and I'll find a way." And I thought, standing there, yes, you will, because I know how it all comes back. So Jesus grew up to be this strong man. He was all about giving. In fact, that's the reason he deserves for us to model all of our behaviors after him, because he was so clear in giving himself away. Give, and he'll be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, placed in your lap. For the measure that you give will be exactly the same measure that you get back. Call it karma. Call it divine justice. In just a moment, many of your children and grandchildren are going to parade down this aisle here, and they're going to be dressed up, and they're going to be modeling this great story, because the story needs to be told for every age, all the time. It never gets old. I hope you and I lean in and pay close attention. I bet we will. Because the God of divine justice often uses children to change the world. And that's no coincidence. Amen. It's a prayer, the words of a prayer. I would love it if you would join your voice to mine. I think it might show up on the screen as well, or you can find it in the bulletin, friends. Together, can we say, "Dear God, it's Christmas Eve, and we've all come here together to worship you as we celebrate the birth of Jesus the Christ. You certainly chose a strange way to come to the earth and to get our attention. Nobody expected a baby to be born in a livestock shed far from home. Nobody expected angels to tell the great news to the shepherds first, or for wise sages to follow the light of a new star. It wasn't what we were looking for, but we're very glad that this is how you chose to be revealed to us and to give us the gift of new life. Thank you for everything you did for us and are doing for us still in Jesus. Help us as we show and tell others that this is why Christmas is so special. Amen.
At this time, I want to invite you and your generous support for the ongoing mission of Central Church, both locally as we go about the work of Christ here through supporting Christian education programming and spiritual formation, as well as outreach throughout the year, and as well those worldwide projects in places like Haiti and in Africa where we're making a difference. I think in a moment like this, we can understand what it means that it does come back to us, because this is a chance for us to partner with a difference-making ministry. And by doing that, you get a sense that you are bringing in the love of Jesus Christ. You are making it real in this world. So let's give generously to the mission of the church this evening. I want you to lean in close and listen to this familiar but transformative story of the birth of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I think many of us have probably heard this story a few times already this Christmas, certainly if not in word and song. But tonight I ask you to listen with a new ear. Listen with a sense that it has been fulfilled. Emmanuel, God, is come. And so from Luke's Gospel, around the time of Elizabeth's amazing pregnancy and John's amazing birth, the emperor in Rome, Caesar Augustus, required everyone in the Roman Empire to participate in a massive census. The first census, since Quirinius was governor of Syria, and each person had to go to his or her celestial city to be counted. Mary's fiancé Joseph from Nazareth in Galilee had to participate in the census in the same way everyone else did, because he was a descendant of King David. His ancestral city was Bethlehem, David's birthplace. And Mary, who was now late in her pregnancy, that the messenger had predicted, accompanied Joseph. And while in Bethlehem, she went into labor and gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped the baby in a blanket and laid him in a feeding trough because the inn had no room for them.
Nearby, in the fields outside of Bethlehem, a group of shepherds were guarding their flocks from predators in the darkness of night. Suddenly, a messenger of the Lord stood in front of them, and the darkness was replaced by a glorious light, the shining light of God's glory, and they were terrified. Then the messenger angel said, "Don't be afraid. Listen, I bring good news, news of great joy, news that will affect all people everywhere. Today in the city of David, a liberator has been born for you. He is the promised anointed one, the supreme authority. You will know you have found him when you see a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a feeding trough."
And at that moment, the first heavenly messenger was joined by thousands of other messengers, a vast heavenly choir, and they praised God, singing to the highest heights of the universe, "Glory to God, and on earth peace among all people who are created by our God."
Thank you.
Now that is a multitude of the heavenly host. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem, in the province of Judea, at the time when King Herod reigned. Not long after Jesus was born, magi, wise men, or seers from the east, made their way from the east to Jerusalem. These wise men made inquiries, saying, "Where is this newborn? Who is the King of the Jews? When we were far away in the east, we saw his star, and we have followed its glisten and gleam all this way to worship him." King Herod began to hear rumors of the wise men's quest, and he and all his followers of Jerusalem were worried. So Herod called all the leading Jewish teachers, the chief priests and head scribes, and asked them where Hebrew tradition claimed this long-awaited Messiah would be born. Scribes and priests told the king, "Well, an ancient Hebrew prophet Micah said this once, that you, Bethlehem, in the town land of Judea, are no poor relation, for from your people will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel."
Herod called the wise men to him, demanding to know the exact time the special star had appeared to them. And then Herod sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go to Bethlehem, search high and low for this Savior child, and as soon as you know where he is, report to me so that I may go and worship him." The wise men left Herod's chambers, and they went on their way. The star they had first seen in the east appeared a miracle. Of course, they were overjoyed and enraptured the wise men by the sight of this star. The star led them to the house where Jesus lay, and as soon as the wise men arrived, they saw him and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they unpacked their satchels and gave Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, just as Joseph did a few months before, the wise men had a dream warning them not to go back to Herod. The wise men heeded the dream, ignoring Herod's instructions, and they returned to their homes in the east by a different way.
I cannot think of a better moment in this church than you all right now, right here.
Can you see yourselves on the screen back there? Isn't that pretty wonderful?
Yeah. One thing I want you to know, you're telling the story. You're helping us tell the best story ever tonight about Jesus come to the world. But you know what else? Whenever you are kind to people and generous and caring about other people, you are also telling God's story. I hope that you help your parents and grandparents to take a lot of pictures of you so they can show it to you when you're 16 years old and get embarrassed. But I really want you to know you're telling a great story tonight. Now, what about, let's keep the costumes on a little bit. Is that okay? I want you to slowly make your way back to your families in the pew, and Allie is going to sing a wonderful song about when Jesus was born, okay? So get back there, and we can all listen to Allie's song. Now, you know where your families are? all need light in our life. Some of us are just trying to make it ourselves. But what tonight announces is that God is so generous, pouring the light of grace onto all the human family, equipping us, empowering us to be people of faith. I read the one line out of the Gospels that says, "The true light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. Everything that was created received its life from him, and his life gave light to everyone. The light keeps shining in the dark, and the darkness has never put it out." So Dale and I will light our candles off the Christ candle, and we'll make our way through the crowd. I think ushers will take the light up to the balcony as well. It helps as we're lighting each other's light if you'll turn your unlit candle sideways and light it off of a lit candle. Let us be open to this great mystery of God come to the world. verse together. As you leave here tonight, no matter what baggage you're carrying, no matter if you faced good news or bad news today, the Prince of Peace has still come into the world, and the light that he offers around generosity and grace, no darkness has ever put out. Go in peace. May we be people who follow light. Merry Christmas.